Today, Sonic is owned by Inspire Brands, parent company of Arby's, Dunkin' Donuts, and Buffalo Wild Wings. Headquarters for Sonic is here in Oklahoma City. So we get started in the fall of 1958. Talk about Top Hat restaurants.
Well, it really has two founders. Most people think of Troy Smith. And Troy, it was his basic idea, but there's another man named Charlie Pappy. Born in Kingfisher, Pappy family had come, made the land run of 89. Grandson, Charlie, is born into this merchant family, and uncles were doing this. They had saloons before statehood. They had filling stations when cars were. So it was this merchant family who believed in free enterprise. And, of course, the heart of free enterprise is taking a risk, investing time, money, and all of that, network of friends. Well, it was really their partnership that we get to in 58. But starting with Troy, Troy was the son of an oil man, going from oil camp to oil camp. His dad was a big man in the oil patch. And as I've said in the book, he was a big man in a small town, Seminole, Oklahoma. But if people wanted jobs, they had to go through Les Smith, Troy's daddy. And so Troy grew up, hardworking kid, doing what he had to do, learned how to work on things, served the country, World War II, got married, had a baby, wanted his own business, did not want to be in daddy's shadows. That's a common story in a lot of our entrepreneurs in Oklahoma history. Didn't want to be in daddy's shadow, so he said, I'm going to own my own business. Drove a milk truck, little towns, looking at businesses, what was working well, what was not, learning. Then he drove a bread route, Martha Ann's, out of Shawnee, little towns, learning what worked well, what didn't, observing, learning. Finally bought a little cafe called Cottage Cafe on the wrong side of town where their oil workers typically would either start early and come by for coffee and breakfast or late at night. And Cottage Cafe did not make much money for Troy, but he was learning. He learned how to balance food, waste, labor, timing, marketing, what size menu, and he learned the value of music. He put in a jukebox, and he said his only profit that first year were the nickels put into that jukebox to listen to the Hank Thompsons of the world who were just making popular music and radio. You know, your career. Hank Thompson was huge. He just expanded music. Most people don't understand the impact of Hank Thompson, but it had an impact on Sonic because he made enough money to eventually sell, and he was very creative. One Thanksgiving, no restaurant in Shawnee was open. There were 50 restaurants in Shawnee at the time. He said, okay, folks, we can stay open on Thanksgiving, make a little extra money. Are you willing? Oh, yeah. So he bought one turkey on his bread route, brought it in, gave it to the cook, and out of one turkey that he bought for like $4, she cooks the turkey, big old pot of cornbread dressing, a big pot of mashed potatoes and gravy. And that day they served like 140 meals out of that one turkey with a little slice of turkey covered with gravy. And so $1 a meal in Shawnee in the mid-50s. It's amazing. But he was learning. Went to a steakhouse, learned how to do takeouts when television started drawing audiences away from the movies. The theaters were one of his big markets. People could eat chicken before and chicken after. Well, suddenly no one's going to the movies, they're watching television. Okay, come by, get it, eat it on your TV trays. Innovation. He and a partner buy an old log cabin. They create a steakhouse, but it has a little restaurant in front that had been kind of like an A&W root beer stand. One person, very limited menu. Well, after a year, he's making 5% return on that white tablecloth steakhouse, but he's making 20% return on what he's putting into this little roadside stand. So he starts investing in it. He said, well, I think I can do better. And so while he's making homemade salad dressings and expanding to lobster and things like that and high dining in Shawnee, he's adding to the menu. He adds another person. He has car hops, which had been around since the 30s. The name, interestingly enough, came from the days when you had running boards on cars. You and I remember those. Not many of young listeners will. But as cars would drive into the drive-ins of Southern California, these car hops, real aggressive, would jump onto the running board to be able to get a customer. So they were car hops. But anyway, Troy did car hops. Then to protect the car hops, he needed canopies. Then he saw the advantage of music. So he added speakers to it and got a local company, the Dixon Music Company in Shawnee, to put in the speakers and was playing the new records by Elvis Presley. And he told me a story that I actually put in the book. He said, Bob, I really wanted to put in polka music and, you know, old-fashioned music. But my young employee says, oh, no, no. Look at the people in your parking lot. They're all young. They want to hear Elvis Presley. So they would bring in their records and play it. And it worked. Well, one day, in it was called Top Hat because it was supposed to be the aristocrat of hamburgers and hot dogs. And the logo was a weenie dog, a little Dotson with top hat on. Well, here comes a guy who's a traveling salesman who had gone bankrupt in Woodward. If you're from Woodward or have driven through Woodward, there's still a famous diner called the Pollyanna. If I'm going through Woodward, I schedule a meeting in Fort Supply so I can eat at the Pollyanna. It's the old-fashioned diner. For like today, it's $8, but in the day, it was like $3 for a full meal with a little dessert. Great bargain for us cheap people. It was just perfect. But anyway, he owned that. He owned the Oasis Steakhouse. He owned a hotel. Went bankrupt. Becomes a salesman. Is traveling through Shawnee. Sees the Top Hat. Stopped for a meal. Looking around, he said, dang, they're selling a lot of hamburgers and milkshakes here. So he comes back, starts taking notes. And the staff says, Troy, there's a guy out in the parking lot taking these notes kind of mysteriously. Troy goes and says, sir, can I help you? And so the guy gets out of the car. He was well-dressed. He always carried a gold watch in his pocket with a gold chain visible, the old-fashioned look. And he says, young man, I am really interested in what you're doing here. He says, I've had restaurants in Woodward. I want to invest again. I would like to use the Top Hat formula. He says, I've measured all of your parking spaces that are diagonal. He said, why? He said, well, I didn't want to do parking spaces coming straight in because the kids would roll down their windows and talk to each other. He said, diagonal, they can't talk to each other. They have to get their Cokes and hamburgers and go down to the church parking lot to socialize. More turnover. He said, well, why are all these spaces different sizes? He said, just one day I had a bunch of cars here and I just measured the space between the cars. Didn't realize they were all different sizes. He said, oh. And he talked a little about the business plan. He said, okay, I'm going to be partners. I want to open a Top Hat in Woodward. So they opened the Top Hat in Woodward. Later, a Top Hat in Stillwater, Top Hat in Oklahoma City, out on 39th Expressway, my old stomping grounds when I finished high school. And so they had four Top Hats. Finally, they say, this is a good idea. The economy's going well. Women are going into the workplace slowly. The glass ceiling is there still for women in 58 and 59. And so the business model is working. And they're developing their own leadership coming up from the guys flipping the hamburgers or the car hops. They'll recognize who's the best worker and promote them. And they said, man, we've got a system here. We could expand our workforce, good motivation, 20% return on investment. We can get people. Don't have to borrow a lot of money because these little, basically it's just a kitchen with canopies. We need to find someone to buy the land. We'll put in the equipment. Find a hardworking kid, work for little or nothing, but for dividends and a bonus at the end of the year. So they go to franchise. They find out Top Hat was taken. Some company out of Chicago had it. So by this time, they already had a slogan, service at the speed of sound, because of the little speakers. Originally, you and I remember in the old drive-in days, you get the speaker and put it on your window and you could hear. Well, they used those with a little toggle switch. Hit the toggle, you could give your order the other way. You could hear the person inside the kitchen. So service at the speed of sound. Well, this is the days of the sonic boom tests in Oklahoma City. This is the age of Chuck Yeager and X1 and breaking the sound barrier. And so Sonic was a fairly looking like, he says, Sonic. He says, I like Sonic rather than Top Hat because it's going to be a couple of letters short. That'll save me money on the next sign.
Who said Sonic?
This is Troy Smith.
Okay.
He came up with that. And he was the manager, the organizer. Charlie Pappy was the energy, the high-voltage guy who could get out and never met a stranger. Perfect partnership. So it's a handshake agreement. They never had a contract. Handshake agreement, 50-50. We'll do it. Troy says, I'll run the business. You get out and sell. You find people who are willing to do this. And so they then have franchises in Edmond and Elk City, and they start expanding around the state. And it works. And they're keeping labor costs low. They're finding people to invest. Troy is investing a lot of the land because he's made enough money by this time. He becomes a partner. But he might say, okay, John, we think the market in Ponca City is ready for a drive-in. There's really no competition. There's a Dairy Queen, but they're not very aggressive. They don't advertise. I think we can do better. John, if you'll be the manager of it, You don't have to invest. I'll invest in the land. We'll get another partner locally, a banker or someone, to invest in the equipment and the sign and the little building, which is basically a big kitchen and the canopies. There's a company in Oklahoma City that will build it all and put it up. We'll supervise that, and you run it. End of the month, you're not going to make much money on your paycheck, but on your dividend at the end of the year, you're going to become a rich man. And then you'll have a chance to expand. And so you say, okay, I'll do it. Started expanding that way. And then, so John, you have a store in Ponca City. And they come and you say, hey, we really think that there's room for something over here in Tecumseh or Seminole or whatever little town they're looking at. And they say, why don't you take your best employee, send them over there as a manager. You spend 2 days on the road managing, making sure it's working, but you train somebody that you trust to be that kid who works for little or nothing, making the money at the end of the year. And so start expanding. And so Troy and Charlie together recruit that first generation of leaders who come in and really make Sonic what it became.